So what are we discussing in second chapter? Some like very nice section started, right?
Yeah.
What is that section about? Arjuna is asking about?
He is asking how is the
questions about the symptoms of the consciousness.
So what are the four of
questions?
Four questions?
How does he talk?
First is, what are the symptoms?
Symptoms.
Or characteristics? Second,
how does he speak?
Third one is, how does he sit?
Mm-hmm.
And how does he walk? So what are the deeper meanings of these questions? We discussed like two
understandings.
Okay, we'll go see. So symptoms means characteristics. So basically in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says as a diseased person can be identified by his characteristics. Like as a rich man has certain symptoms. And somebody immediately we can say, oh, he's rich, he's poor. So similarly, a Krishna conscious person can also be identified. So what are his symptoms or characteristics by which we can identify? So that's the first question. So next one is, how does he speak? What is the deeper meaning of the question?
How he speaks about Krishna and the matters related to
how
Krishna.
How does he speak with
opposites,
dualities?
Yeah, how does he respond to external circumstances? Like, if somebody offends them, or, in the case of threefold miseries, or like, so many things, how does he respond? And then, how does he sit? What is the deeper meaning of that?
He controls his senses.
How does he?
He does not engage his senses.
So, to easily understand, the deeper meaning to the question. Sit means idle, right? So we can say inactive state. So how does he not engage his senses? So similarly, how does he walk? Walk means active.
How does he engage his senses?
Okay. So then Krishna starts answering these questions starting from 55. So 55 covers symptoms. Right, so what are some of the symptoms? How do we identify a Krishna conscious person? First one is listed actually in the purport of 54. Last three lines of the purport. Yeah, so he speaks only of Krishna or matters relating to him. So that is this immediate symptom. I think we shared this example once. Srila Prabhupada went to one session, in my different sessions, right? So there one Mayavadi Sannyasi, all different kinds of people came, and Mayavadi Sannyasi was also there, and he was invited to speak. Everybody was given a chance to speak. Then his disciples told, he is doing Maunavrata now. He cannot speak. Prabhupada said, oh, very good. If he speaks, he cannot tolerate. And many of you may not know what is Maya. Mayavadi is, basically they say there is, God doesn't have any personality. God is impersonal. So that is very offensive. So especially devotees or bhaktas, they cannot tolerate it. So that's why Prabhupada would rather not listen to that Mayavadi. Then when Prabhupada was given a chance to speak, he nicely spoke about Krishna. So that was the thing, Mayavadis, they say, we'll restrict, right? That's their philosophy. I'll not eat sweets, I'll not eat this, I'll not eat. But our philosophy is, we offer everything to Krishna and we take it as prasadam. That's what is going to come, the same theme is going to come future. So that's why a devotee always speaks about Krishna and matters relating to him. So that was the first symptom, which is covered in the purport. And the next symptoms are given in the translation 55, which are, the first one is 55 words, symptoms.
Are the good qualities of the great sages?
Second chapter 55? Yeah. First one is, he gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification. Right? Oh, Sangeeta is calling.
I don't know how we can accept all this. No, the call is kept on hold.
Mm-hmm. So you can just disconnect her and then add.
I try to add. So Mataji, I'll add you to other call, Mataji.
You can see Rishabh also joining. Okay, so that second symptom is he gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification. So what you could do is in your translate, if you have pencils, you can mark that as 1, 2, 3 like that, no? Like mm-hmm. to remember nicely. Then the next symptom is his mind is purified and he feels self-satisfied. He just finds satisfaction only in the self. So that is the third symptom. So the first one is he speaks only of Krishna, matters relating to Krishna. Second one is he gives up all varieties of sense gratification. Third one is he finds satisfaction only in the self. So then, what are the some of the important points we discussed in 55 purport? Can anybody say from the last class? 55 or in general about this theme? I didn't listen to the class.
Lord Krishna is answering those four questions.
So specifically in 55, like what are the some of the points of the purport we discussed, emphasized or we discussed in the class?
So we can't just say no to our desires, it doesn't work that way. So we have to dovetail them to Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Like eating is part like by eating prasad, singing kirtan, seeing means seeing Krishna in different costumes, reading means reading.
They can hear us, but
reading means reading devotional books.
Yes,
that's
correct. Yes.
Yeah.
So that is about, you know, the second symptom, right? Giving up all varieties of desire for sense gratification. So that's the elaboration of that, where Srila Prabhupada says you cannot artificially stop the desires.
Yeah.
Like how this impersonalists or other philosophies, no, artificially, you know, I'm not going to watch movies like that. But if we simultaneously develop liking for Krishna or bhakti for Krishna, then we say, you know, okay, Krishna, it's not favorable for devotional service of Krishna consciousness, automatically I don't want to do. So that is what do we call this? See this concept.
Chitta
vairagya. That's one thing.
Yeah.
Other one is some taste.
Higher taste.
So it's because we have higher taste. So from everything we try to get some pleasure, right? So far we are used to getting pleasure in, like, you know, so-called watching movies or whatever. But once we come to Krishna consciousness and we serve Krishna, we feel a higher pleasure. Because the soul is satisfied, then that is called higher taste. Actually, gradually in a couple of verses, we are going to come that Krishna is going to tell about that concept of higher taste. So because of that, automatically, you know, our desire for sense gratification will not manifest. Like I remember initial days of my Krishna consciousness, where I was told, you know, okay, eat only prasadam, all these things. So I was trying to practice. So then, and I still have strong liking for sweets. So in office generally, right, after they serve cake or something left over, they keep in the kitchen. Anybody who goes can see, right? And especially when you see things, you want to have it rather than, you know, if you are at your near own desk doing something, then okay, no problem. You feel as if, you know, you are a sadhu. But once you see things, then it's like, oh, after that, when you come back also, you keep thinking, right? Oh, what's happening to the cake and all. So, but then, I knew that, but then at that time I had to, you know, say to myself, okay, this is not prasadam, I should not eat. But gradually I've seen over a period of 1 year or whatever, as soon as I see that, I'm no longer attracted. Even though it's sweet actually, there's no difference. But because it's not prasadam, somehow you don't feel like eating. So that's what happens. So we will all lose the desire for sense gratification. Because of using the senses in Krishna service. So what happens? Senses get purified. So what are the some other points we discussed? So this is related to the second point actually, self-satisfied. Prabhu emphasized something about self-satisfaction, right?
Yeah, it comes from within, it cannot be had from outside.
Yeah. So that's why you call self-realization, right? So what is example Prabhu discussed about? Some animal.
Kasturi.
Kasturi. Nabi.
Yeah. Musk deer.
Musk
deer. So it has a smell within in the stomach. But it tries to find out everywhere. And actually it goes crazy. And then finally it actually kills in itself because of that. But actually it's coming from within. So similarly, we find ourselves finding pleasure from external things so much. But gradually with Krishna consciousness, we will see that, you know, we just by serving Krishna and realizing, eventually realizing as an eternal servitor, we'll be more and more satisfied. Okay, so what are any points or any questions or comments?
This question often comes to my mind. So the gist of this is a Krishna conscious person is always talking about Krishna, is not involved in much pleasures of life, right? A very plain Jane kind of living, right? Basic eating and clothing and stuff. But also, I remember from the DYS class, when you get freedom from the material world and you go to the spiritual world, there they are enjoyments too. So why are you being, practicing abstinence here to be Krishna conscious? I'm not saying go after luxuries and pleasures and all those cravings, but why a little bit of enjoyments are not good?
So actually, I recollect one incident with Srila Prabhupada, which answers it's very very much answers this. So Srila Prabhupada once he was visiting different places, right? Different cities. He was visiting almost in a year. He visited the whole world 12 times or something like that. Overall, during his life, during the last some number of years, he visited 12. So many, almost every month every few days, he used to go to different city. So one city, some city, I don't remember where he went. There, of course, disciples, they're very eager to, and all well-wishers. So they want to do their best to receive him. Whole temple they used to clean, spick and span, and then, everything, whatever, most luxurious, expensive things which they can, it's as a to show their devotion. So they actually rented, or I don't know what happened, of Rolls Royce, big that one. They brought to receive Srila Prabhupada from airport.
There's a class going on.
Can I get one?
Yeah, Prabhupada. Then.
Osho Bhagwan Rajneesh used to own several Rolls Royce, right?
I don't know about that. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Even not again.
Hare Krishna. So I was telling. Sorry, Prabhu.
This week I must be John.
Yes, Prabhu, please. Hare Krishna. So, I was telling about an incident of Srila Prabhupada. So he was visiting several places. So once he went to some city in US, I don't remember the city name. So disciples, they rented Rolls Royce, big van to receive Srila Prabhupada from the airport. So then, Prabhupada was becoming so famous, whenever he visited different cities, press reporters were already there to, ask questions about Krishna consciousness and all these things. So there were a lot of press reporters already ready to ask him questions. They used to have a meeting in the airport itself. So then obviously they asked this question. You are supposed to be a saint. Saint typically is renounced person wearing a saffron cloth and maybe, going with a pot of kamandala or just eating, begging, whoever gives some roti, just eat that and, live with that. So why are you interested in these luxuries? Why do you need this? Then Srila Prabhupada said, actually, my disciples should have brought me a golden car. They couldn't afford this. So they brought me this rented car. So what he meant is, like, actually that's what is our philosophy is, everything can be used in Krishna service. He actually, there it could be misunderstood that Prabhupada wanted for his himself, but you know, okay, I want that grandeur and things like that, but it's not, he of course he understands the mood of the person who asks the question. So based on that, he responds. But actually the essence is, because spiritual master is considered a representative of Supreme Lord, everything best should be used in his service. Like, for example, let's say if we come to temple, right? Krishna doesn't see what you give in donation box, he sees what you keep in the pocket. So people come and give $1, 50 cents, all these things, right? And think, oh, I have done a big sacrifice. But what is it? So we have to give the best to Krishna. So similarly, best things can be used in Krishna service. In that way, we can engage material things. That's the best use of material things. Not, but at the same time, it's not enjoyment. But if I use those things for my enjoyment, then it causes bondage. That's so. But at the same time, I'm not aloof of these things. I'm not like, you know, I'm not going to buy dresses, I'm not going to go to mall. We also go to mall and buy clothes. Because why? We should be presentable. Right? Because when we are in a clean and neat fashion, we can present Krishna consciousness. If I don't take bath every day, you know, I come and preach Krishna consciousness, who is going to look at me? Right? So, but the whole concept is about how best I can serve Krishna. That is there. Same thing is non-different in the spiritual world. Spiritual world is also same, where everything is there, enjoyment is there, with Krishna in the center. So this, but the only what we are abstaining from is enjoyment separate from Krishna. Like, you know, I go on my own. Let's say
I want to go on a pleasure trip or
some tour or something.
Chocolates.
Yeah,
that's not right.
Yeah, like where you cannot obviously connect with Krishna. Of course, see what happens is gradually in Krishna consciousness. Initially, we cannot see many things in connection with Krishna. Sometimes, you know, it may feel like, oh, okay, let's say after marriage, having kids, it feels like, oh, it's a mundane act, you know, it's a pleasure act, I should not have. It may, because we are so naive, we may not see how everything is can be connected to Krishna. But spiritual master or advanced devotees, they can guide us, right? So when we see that gradually, when we evolve in Krishna consciousness, we can see how everything we can use in Krishna service. Then we can see more and more everything can be connected. Rather than initially, actually we live in two worlds. You know, this is material, this is spiritual. Okay, if I come to temple, then no, I am doing some spiritual. If I, you know, go to this place, it's material. Like for example, one devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, this bar is there. You know, there lot of, you know, people, they drink everything. I want to go and preach Krishna consciousness there. Prabhupada said, yes, you go, as long as you can come back. Right? So it's, so bar is seemingly, it's like, you know, a place where a devotee should not go. But for preaching you can go. But depends on our level of advancement. Right? So it's, so as we advance, we can engage more and more things in Krishna service. That's how we deal with the material world. But not for my enjoyment. That's the difference.
But something like, suppose for gaining peace or something like that, right?
Mm.
I want to go to the lake.
Mm.
It's like nourishing my soul and the sight that I get out of that, right?
Mm.
I mean, I may not be really remembering Krishna at that time.
Right.
It's more for my peace,
yes,
and
yes,
the serenity of
right,
the environment, right?
Right?
Mm,
yes.
So is that wrong?
It's not wrong. So basically, as we see, this is the culmination. What we are talking about, actually what Srila Prabhupada talks about, is actually a fully advanced person. Like, you know, completely perfect Krishna conscious person. That is our goal. But we all start at different levels. Like, you know, for example, my brother started taking Krishna consciousness, but he likes very much, he's an outdoorsy person. He chants everything. But he says, you know, Akka, I cannot imagine me not going to places like, you know, cool, like, you know, mountains or whatever, even after I take the Krishna consciousness. I said, there is nothing wrong. Go. And actually, we'll see in the 11th chapter, Universal Form, where Krishna shows how all the things in the world are actually part of his universal form. So eventually when we go to the lake, when we understand Krishna consciousness or like all this philosophy better, we will see actually this lake is nothing but part of Krishna's creation. We may actually appreciate Krishna better, but right now we may not do it. We may do it only because, okay, it gives me peace. It's okay. There is nothing wrong.
But understanding from the point of view that it's so majestic and it's actually something that is an offering from Krishna
yes.
to us as a gift.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
To gain peace
yes.
and tranquility. Okay.
Yes.
So that's a way of connecting to Krishna.
Yes.
With everything
yes.
That even
so
we consume to even
yes. So
satisfy our senses.
Yes. As long as we connect, then it becomes Krishna conscious. It's not anymore. When it becomes Krishna conscious, it doesn't bind us. Basically, as we remember Krishna, then it doesn't bind us. It actually, it's nothing but devotional service. But at the same time, as we evolve, we will see that I can do a better service to Krishna by spending 1 hour in the lake when compared to, spending 1 hour in temple washing dishes for him. Let's say, we take two services. When I become more Krishna conscious, I will feel, okay, I get peace here, but actually I can serve Krishna more here. No, my service is much needed for Krishna here. So that choice we will make. So then it's slowly that selfishness will reduce. Okay.
You mean to say by serving others at the temple you'll start to gain more peace rather
exactly.
than going
yes.
at the lake?
Yes. You
be
able and to also distinguish. Your motivation will no longer be what I get.
But once in a while still going out would be okay, right?
So that's why I'm saying it's not like you should not do this, you should not do this. It's right now everything is okay actually. We start from there.
As
right?
long as we are asking if we have to go, if we go until then it's okay.
Yeah.
But we get the answer when we
it should come out of us.
Yes.
It will come.
Yes.
The answer will
yes.
come. As long as we have the question, it's okay to do.
Yeah, that's right. Correct. It's okay to drink coffee, everything. But ideally we should not drink. That's our goal. If you want, we can make it our goal. Otherwise it's okay to be wherever we are.
Because if we are not ready and we stop it, the mind is always lingering.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my god, I'm not drinking tea, oh my god. And you feel, oh my head is hurting.
You can offer tea to Krishna and drink. That is okay.
But are we not supposed to drink tea or coffee also?
No, that's exactly what I'm trying to understand, because it should not be like complete abstinence from everything. That doesn't make sense.
No,
really.
That's what I'm
why
saying.
Would God give us everything and we can't even do a little bit of that? I don't agree with that.
So that's why it's not abstinence of actually
I think it's a debatable topic.
No, like now we are talking in a theoretical point of view, right? Like from what we hear as to like, you know, don't do this, don't do this. But once we start, you know, or rather seeing a devotee's life, you know, how they use their, like, for example, like, you know, can we not go to work? Can we not work? Somebody may say, abstinence means, oh, I should not work, right? Why are we working? You know, why are we having kids? Right? Why are we, anything you take, like maybe some... Why are we not watching movies, let's say, mundane movies, right? Because we see Krishna, that's what Prabhupada is going to, I already discussed, I think. We see Krishna more attractive, that we find more, actually it's really selfishness. Somebody may think, right, you know, this is all restriction, there is no enjoyment. No, why people do like this? It's all about, you know, just restricting, and no enjoyment. We are restricting from enjoyment, that's what initial sense we get.
But there's still a fine line between enjoyment and simple living and abstinence, right? You could be living simply, having tea, coffee, maybe one or two cups, plain simple vegetarian food, and praying to God,
but not
like
a Vedic culture, right? I mean,
yeah.
A lot of the basis for this is also to what has been written in the ancient scriptures, right? So it's not like where we define what simple is, because that's a happy medium that
yeah.
we are comfortable with, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about you know, what has been really written in scriptures, kind of following that. And then on the modern day, a lot of things are not like, for example, watching movies. Movies were never there where
yeah,
they,
movies
you know,
I
they,
don't
they
even
they
believe
cannot, right? Yeah.
So
I think so that's
right. So it becomes again very individualistic now. subjective. Mm. You say something, right? Somebody else may say watching movies, you know, abstinence from watching movies is to know why you guys are doing like this. Mm. Right? So then where is the standard? That's what Prabhu is telling. Standard is coming from
scriptures.
Scriptures and how a self-realized devotee has modeled it into a day-to-day life, to, which is practice, which can be practicable, whatever word
that is.
Is
that is
yeah,
and for everyone. It's not like partial truth for one and partial
truth. But so at the same time, I think that the Krishna consciousness means that everything has to centered around Krishna. Like, but whereas abstinence actually means that it's inactivity,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Isn't that?
Yes.
What
no, that's an impersonal.
Yeah.
So actually, what I'm trying to clarify is, Krishna consciousness is not is equal to abstinence.
Yeah.
They're much more bigger thing we are missing. That's why I was trying to add up. So eventually, gradually, we will get the complete picture. So you can just now, maybe you know, just hear it. Don't have to accept it if you don't want to. Just hear it and just see
yeah.
as it goes. So another incident was somebody Prabhupada said if we are not vegetarians, we are Krishnatarians. So it's not like you know we follow our philosophy is not simple living, high thinking. Our philosophy is as Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness. So and Prabhupada said if Krishna would have recommended to eat meat, we will eat meat. So it's not about not eating meat. It's about what Krishna says that we do. Got it? It's all centered on Krishna, that's all. Then again question comes, why only Krishna? Why? That will come next time. So.
Yeah, no, I was going on the lines of simple living and high thinking is the right way to, as a right conduct in life, right? So,
yes.
But
based on something, right?
Yes.
Based on certain higher authority, you know that simple living and
we
high thinking.
We don't know what is simple living and high thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. How
yeah.
to
so
practically live that.
Yeah.
So that is, that will be defined.
May not be
yeah. Actually, that's what we will. Our life will reduce to. We follow principles of Krishna consciousness. So, Krishna conscious person is like you know, it's like a over encompassing umbrella. That person is a vegetarian. Is also simple living, high thinking. Everything else, got it? It's not that if you do simple living, high thinking, you become Krishna conscious. But Krishna conscious person can be all of this. It's a full. It's a yeah.
An umbrella
plan.
Yeah.
All encompassing umbrella.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some of the food in one of the books here said because it has different.
Taking out
food. Food
and
all
that.
Some
of the food in the back. No,
that book is a food for the soul. That was the meaning. Translated
food for thought and food for soul.
Because of his those qualities of tamasic, rajasic, and sattvic, that's why the onions, chai, coffee, all those things are
just influences.
So basically, it's not like
senses.
Yeah, you should not have the addiction, bondage of having it. That's old time old habit. You know, like suppose you want to chat and learn all these things about tea, then you know, I wish I could have tea.
It's
about
the
bondage, not like having it once in a while.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Okay.
So through this is what I want to understand. What is right, what is reasonable, and what is excess?
So there is.
So the excess is what we get rid of, but reasonable amounts.
Okay, no, there is no confusion with this. There are some strict things, like tea and coffee for sure, I will say.
No.
It's a no. But we can gradually take to that.
One of the
regulative principles, do's and don'ts, we are going to come to it now, next eventually. So that's a goal, but we can start wherever we are. We all start from where we are. And it's up to us whether we want to make that as our goal. Completely up to us. But we are here to hear what is this philosophy, what is this life all about, and see whether we want to take it. That's all.
Mataji, what do you do in the morning?
Water.
Milk.
Yeah.
Milk.
Milk.
Yeah.
Water.
No, the option is milk.
Yeah,
milk. Actually, another alternative is
juice.
Alternative is ginger tea. There is
herbal tea.
Herbal tea.
What tea? There is a Gokul tea.
Gokul tea. It's completely caffeine free. You get that thing in India,
yeah.
Like that?
It is there in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Okay, now we'll discuss 56. So last week we also covered 56, right? Which is this 56 and 57. 56 and
56 we covered.
Yeah, for sure we covered.
Okay, okay. Let me complete my statement. 56 and 57 is about answering. Speak. How does he speak? Right.
We are not listening to you.
So we covered 56 last time, we'll cover 57. So what speak means, what behavior, right? How does he respond to external situations? So what are some of the characteristics Krishna says?
A person who is not disturbed by happiness as well as miseries. So even if there are miseries, person thinks that it's because of my past karmas or misdeeds in the past. And even if there is a slight lot of miseries, he thinks that, you know, it's been reduced by Krishna.
Yes, yes. So that's about miseries. And the second part is, you can see there are three points in the translation.
You should not be too happy.
Yeah, so happiness. So how does he deal with the happiness?
Same way he deals with steady mind.
Practically,
he thinks he doesn't deserve it, still got it.
And how does he use the, like, you know, things he gets like that? He uses them in Krishna service. He doesn't use it for enjoyment. Just because, oh, I did service, I got something, but then again you use that for sense gratification, then you are lost again. So it's not only thinking, it's also using them properly. It's all there in the purport, right? And what is the third characteristic? See the third line in the last line in the translation.
Free from
attachment, fear and anger. So what are, Prabhu discussed some examples, right, of all of this?
Vitaraga, Vita Krodha and Vita Bhakti. So for Vitaraga, free from attachment, he mentioned
Rantidev.
So what did how did Rantidev demonstrate that? Like, he was a very liberal person, and anybody who comes and asks anything from him, he could give. Right? So last, he's the one who, I think that's some other sage.
King giving food to all three castes.
Yeah.
And just after prayers,
yes.
Without anger. Without any attachment. Giving.
Yes. Then, free from fear?
Prahlad.
And Dhruv Maharaj.
Yeah.
Free from anger?
Amrish
Maharaj, Durvasa Muni, that is incident. Okay. So those were the three characteristics.
Yeah.
We continue that in 57. We are going to deal, cover couple of more of that. So Krishna says 57. So we'll read the Sanskrit together.
We have better
tool.
Yes.
In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge.
So here there are a couple of more, right? Three we covered in the last verse. So the other two are, who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain. So that's the fourth one. Fifth one is, he doesn't praise it nor despise it. What is it? It is whatever good or evil he obtains. And that person is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge.
There is always some upheaval in the material world which may be good or evil. One who is not agitated by such material upheavals, who is unaffected by good and evil, is to be understood to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. As long as one is in the material world, there is always the possibility of good and evil, because this world is full of duality. But one who is fixed in Krishna consciousness is not affected by good and evil, because he is simply concerned with Krishna, who is all good absolute. Such consciousness in Krishna situates one in a perfect transcendental position called technically samadhi.
Okay. So what is this verse Krishna discussing? That he should be, the Krishna conscious person is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain. So he neither praises it nor despises it. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport talks about the nature of the material world. It starts about nature of the material world. So the material world is by design, it's full of duality. So what is duality?
Good, bad.
Good, bad, white, black, no, all this, hot, cold, winter, summer, day, night. So remember this theme we covered earlier in second chapter. What did Krishna advise to deal with?
Bear it.
Tolerate. Which verse is that?
43.
Somebody said that word, right?
Titiksha.
214. Matras Patas.
Titikshasva.
Oh, I don't know. So, can somebody read 14 translation? 2.14. Yes, sir.
O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons.
Mm.
They arise from sense perception. O Sikhan of
Sion
of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed.
So what Krishna is saying here is, as summer and winter seasons come and go, happiness and distress come and go. So happiness doesn't stay forever. Distress similarly doesn't stay forever. Right? We normally want happiness to stay forever and distress to go immediately. Right? So both of them we should tolerate. Why we should tolerate happiness?
Because distress is just waiting
around the corner.
Okay, there is another higher, deeper reason. Why we should tolerate happiness?
Because if you get too happy, then when distress comes, you can't.
It's a material happiness.
It's still material bondage, right?
Come back again, right?
Yeah. It's same thing. So that's why here Krishna was again is saying 57 words, which we are discussing now. He is unaffected by good also. Why good? Right? Somebody may say, why is he unaffected by good? Maybe if good things happen, you know, I should be more happy. But still, see, he is saying, that person doesn't praise it or despise it also. If good things happen, he doesn't say, oh, this is good, you know, this person who glorifies me, or you know, he talks good things about me, he is, you know, the great person. I'm not going to praise that. At the same time, person who scorns me or a person talks bad about me, I'm not going to hate him. Because it's not about me. Because the whole thing is about Krishna.
Which is why also even the good.
Yes.
We don't
we don't get
if something good happens to you, you don't, you know, you
don't get affected by that. Yes.
So it causes more bondage, right?
Yes.
Good, because start expecting
and
more.
If you think it's you, if you think you created
yes.
the good,
yeah,
it's because
like you get a false sense of gratitude.
Yes. So basically, actually, Prabhupada said there is not good and bad, right? In lecture, he said actually there is nothing good in this world. Nothing auspicious in this world. Everything is bad because whatever we get attached to in this world, we will come back. It causes us to return back. So Prabhupada again defines that this world. It reminds us that this material world which we are living in is actually full of duality. So how does then what's the solution? Or rather, how can a Krishna conscious person be not affected? Like, let's see practically, right? How can a Krishna conscious person be not affected by good and evil? Like why it happens, or rather how it happens?
It is a completely fixed in Krishna, who is the absolute. Right? So it's not positive or minus, it's like absolute. It's
spiritual. So that's why Prabhupada says Krishna is all good absolute. So he's not, Krishna conscious person is not perceiving it from material sense of it. Like, you know, what is it in it for me? It's not like, you know, then it's this is good, this is bad. But if it's all for Krishna, whatever happens, it's good, right? That's why, you know, last verse we discussed, right? Misery is also, he thinks it's mercy. Happiness also, he thinks it's mercy. So it's all he's seeing is Krishna's mercy, which is absolute. So another very nice thing is Krishna talking about this characteristics of all good absolute Lord. Like here in this world, a thief is, how is a thief treated? We put him in jail and, you know, we put all boards and he's like a bad person. But Krishna is the greatest thief. But we celebrate his mischievous acts. So that's how he is all good absolute. So we cannot say, you know, stealing is bad. But when Krishna steals, we celebrate it. We talk about it, you know. Actually, the very nice incident is there. Once the elder gopis, they came to Yashoda Mata and they complained, you know, your son comes and steals butter. All the time, they come. Then she told, okay, I am from today onwards, I am going to tell Krishna not to come to your home and steal butter. She said, they said, no, don't do like that. Whole day we want to talk about how Krishna steals butter. That's why, you know, we are even making butter. So we can come and complain and talk about this. Don't do that. So that's the whole thing. We celebrate Krishna's mischievous acts, but whereas in this world, thief is considered a bad person. So that's why he is called all good person, absolute. Another character, another incident is also there similarly. Remember in some battle, Krishna ran away.
Ranchor.
Yeah. Right? Krishna ran away, so called, somebody may say, you know, he's a coward, he ran away from the battle. But he got a name and he celebrated by that name.
What was this battle?
Battle with who's Shishupala, right? Shishupala
and one more of his friends. He only got killed. The other guy was chasing Krishna.
He goes into the cave, right?
Correct. Yeah. Forgetting who was.
He does meditation or something. He goes into
the. Whoever. So the story is like this. So there is a sage who prays that I'm going to be meditating for so long, and whenever I wake up, whoever is the first person I see should he should die on the spot.
Mm.
So then,
that's
his wish. You go ask him.
He got a blessing.
So, but the thing is that Shishupala and his friends were attacking Dwaraka again repeatedly. Then this time Krishna said, "I'm going to run Balarama," and he starts running. So this guy starts chasing him. Krishna goes straight into the cave, and when going, as he crosses him, his feet touches him, and he gets disturbed, and he wakes up and sees our friend coming in. That's it. So he gets the name Ranachod. Rana is
watch.
Chod means
running away.
Running. Ranachod, right. That's where he is.
So the sage couldn't have caught him, right?
The sage is behind the sage, so it doesn't care. It resulted in the killing of that demon. Right?
Demon,
It's like the other Mahabharat war also, this guy has killed Abhimanyu. So Arjuna said that I'm going to kill you by sunset tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the sun sets, so this guy comes out, and Arjuna, Krishna asks Arjuna to sever his head and make it land on his father's lap, because his father had prayed that whoever makes my son's head fall down to the ground, he should, his head should explode. So he's meditating, his son's head falls on him, he, you know, jerks open his eyes, the head rolls down, his head explodes. So
this is not Shishupala, Jarasandha.
No, I didn't say it first one. No,
I'm just
Jarasandha, okay, yeah.
The first
no, I didn't, I, along
he
with his friend,
yeah.
Yeah. I know Shishupala story, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, all these incidents of Mahabharata are very nice, no? Like how everything works out.
So, but does Krishna teach us to be clever?
Krishna?
Teach us to be clever with, you know.
He is actually, later on you'll see some of the verses. Krishna says, you know, I'm the, among all the thieves, I'm the greatest thief. Among all, like, what he says is, like, let's try to, so I don't know whether we can try to find that out. Maybe not. Like, if you try to cheat Krishna, he becomes greatest cheater. You cannot cheat Krishna, basically, that's what I mean. But if you try to love Krishna, he will love you.
But Krishna can cheat, but that basically, does that mean I can cheat as well?
No.
Yeah.
Krishna can do, how does it mean we can do? It's not even equal, because we is equal to, not equal to Krishna, right?
So we can say that Krishna actually likes cheating.
But you don't understand the purpose of his cheating,
so
right?
There is another way to look at it, right? So you cannot do if then else formula with Krishna. If you put if then else, he always puts a bigger if.
That's so Srila Prabhupada says, like, you know, if you try, if you want to do exactly what Krishna says, then, you know, do. You have 16,108 wives,
yeah,
have so many palaces, be with them continuously, day
the
and
same
night,
time. Yeah.
Same time.
Yeah.
If you can do that, then you can dance with the gopis.
Yeah.
Right? So many things.
Yeah.
If the Gopal then. Yeah. But we pick and choose what we want to do, otherwise we will.
No, I think what he was trying to also say was that Krishna teaches us to approach problems or things strategically. It's not like very straightforward way of doing it, being very simple and clear hearted and be nice. No, he tells you to once in a while.
Yes, we should use our intelligence.
For a bigger purpose.
Yes.
You can use strategy.
Yes,
and
definitely. Yeah.
Be cunning.
Yeah.
At times, yeah.
It's not that devotees are dumb, right?
Yeah.
You know, we should actually, we should use all our intelligence and resources in order to preach Krishna consciousness.
But
so much, actually.
But different, there's a difference between using intelligence and cheating.
Yeah. For you,
for a bigger good purpose. Yeah.
For ourselves, if we do it, we are again same in the material platform. But if we do it for the sake of preaching Krishna consciousness or anything, then that's glorious. Even if it's means telling lies.
Yeah. That's
so called. See, that's why the whole thing is changes. We may see, oh, okay, this person, let's say this devotee is telling a lie. I'm trying to recollect an incident. Actually, yeah, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he is Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, right? So he, on Ekadashi, we are supposed to follow certain eating things, right? We don't eat grains and beans, right? But that day, they had to go to book distribution or something. So then he sanctioned devotees to eat grains. Or maybe, I don't know the details, but something like that. So then that's for the higher purpose. It may feel like somebody may say, okay, how could he do this? It may seemingly say it's a bad thing. Somebody says a lie, a devotee says lie, how can devotee say lies? But if that lie is meant to maybe, you know, further preaching mission or whatever, of course we cannot decide that, you know, which lie is good, which lie, it should be, authorized or, you know, under proper guidance we are doing it and things like that. Then, so that's why, you know, this world, material things, that's the difference between duality versus all good absolute. When we apply it for Krishna, the whole thing becomes purified. It's no longer material, it's spiritual. Then you don't get bondage, you don't get affected by that. Same thing, right? Arjuna said, I don't want to fight because I'm going to get reactions. Krishna said, you fight for me, you will be free from reactions. Somebody may say, oh, he's killing so many people, how is it good? But because he's doing a service to Krishna, it's all good. It's good for everyone who's dead. in the battle and for Krishna also and for all of us. So there are a couple of nice stories related to this, you know, good and bad in this world. So one king and a minister are there. I don't know whether we discuss this every time. So the minister always used to say, for everything he says, it's all good. So the king used to always sometimes get agitated, you know, what is this everything, you know. Sometimes the grandmothers, they tell like that, then we feel like, what is this? So then king wanted to test him, like once king's finger got cut. Then he says, the minister says, it's all good. Then he gets, king becomes very angry. It's like, what is it? Okay, then put him in jail, put him in prison. Then he employs a new minister, and minister and the king, one day they go for hunting. Then some dacoits, they come and capture both of them because they are looking for a prey to sacrifice to Mother Kali. So then they arrest both of them, and they see that the king is not complete because his finger is cut. They cannot be used for sacrifice. But whereas the minister is complete, so they take the minister, leave the king. The king comes back home, comes back to the kingdom in the prison, and he goes to the minister and said, oh, that's very good. You said, you know, it's good. It's good. It really was good. You know, my life is saved. But I still don't understand, why is it good that, you know, I missed that point. The minister, when he was put in the jail, he said, it's all good. Then king, then he thought, you know, he's a con case for everything. He keeps saying this, no meaning, no purpose at all. So then I didn't still understand why you said it's good that you were in the jail. Why you think you thought that it's
he
good?
He also got saved, otherwise he would have gotten.
So Mr. said, if you didn't put me in jail, I would have gone with you, then I would have been killed or, you know, sacrificed. So then king finally understood. Then he was reasonably this thing. Then another story was like in a village person, he bought a horse. Then everybody in the village, they said, you know, it's all good. Oh, good, good, good. You got a horse. You know, you can now do this, do that, whatever it is. So it's good. Then he said, good or bad, who knows? Then after a few days, his son tried to ride in the horse and he falls down and he breaks his leg. Then all the villagers, they come and say, oh, it's bad. Your son broke his leg. You know, it's bad. Then he said, you know, good or bad, who knows? Then suddenly there is a call for the war, and the king asks all the young people, everybody to come for the king, for the fight. And they obviously didn't take the son who was injured. Then all the villagers said, oh, good, your son broke, he couldn't go to the war. So then he said again, good or bad, who knows? So that's the whole thing. It's subjective, right? Based on my likings, dislikings, and based on my history and my upbringing, everything, I have certain conceptions of what is good, what is bad. But still, whatever it is, it becomes material. But when we employ those things in Krishna service, it becomes all good, absolute. Then we will not be affected by them. So what does it mean? How do we demonstrate not being affected by them? One characteristic is we don't praise it or not despise it. Right? That's a way of not being affected. But what is another way of showing we are not affected? How do we, let's say something good happens, something evil happens. How do we show we are not affected? Or rather, you know, what are the external characteristics we see?
Expression.
Who is expression? Yeah, expression is, you know, they remain steady. Maybe many people make up expressions. So internally they will be, you know, relishing, oh, I got a lottery or whatever. So, okay, that is external. But what is the consciousness point of view?
Just offer it to Krishna, like whatever good or
bad. Don't attach to the result.
We should continue our service.
Exactly. So basically, irrespective of what happens, there is a steady service. Service is our expression. Service is our devotion. So whatever good or bad happens, so-called in the world, material world, our service doesn't get affected. Then we are demonstrating this characteristic, or we are practicing this characteristic. Like let's say suddenly, you know, okay, we are here, you know, we are have simple job, and but we are still, you know, coming to temple daily, and everything, our family is engaged, we are happy. Suddenly we get a, you know, offer from somewhere in a different city, very huge salary, everything is there. So-called people say, you know, it's good. But then, if you think that in the material sense of view, it's good. Okay, maybe you may go, but maybe you will lose this association, this temple, everything. So, but then, if you choose, okay, for Krishna, I would rather like to stay here, then it's, that's bad, right? Okay, I don't want to go there because it's all Krishna centered now. This lower salary here where my family is engaged is much more better, good for me when compared to higher salary where I'm not so close to devotees. So in this sense, actually we are spiritual minded here of Krishna center. Because our service, we are thinking about our service. How is my service?
There's another way to look at the same issue. Krishna wanted me to kind of go to this music. This is what Prabhupada did actually. We actually got an opportunity.
Yes.
The other way to look at it is like, maybe there are no devotees here, but I'll go build a temple and I'll get it.
Yeah, but do I have the capacity? First, we may think we have the capacity, no, but as that person, you know, you want to go to a bar and preach, Prabhupada said, you know, if you can come back, you go. So when we go there, we want to start a temple, everything you want to do.
I'll go with that said.
We may go also. Actually, no, the thing is, we may go also. We may be fully convinced. I can, you know, within a few days, I can build a temple. But it should be properly, you know, guided. Sometimes our false ego is so much that we may, what to say, cheat ourselves. So better, that's why we need association. Like that's what happens to Bharat Maharaj, right? What happened to Bharat Maharaj?
Indeed.
But what was the main lesson from his incident? Well, okay, what is the incident, first of all? Let's summarize so that everybody is on the same page.
So he renounced and lived in the forest. And one day he sees a deer, like baby, deer lays up, like gives birth and then it goes off and the baby is in the water. So he picks it up. He nourishes it like and he takes care of it, and now he gets attached to the deer. And then at the time of death, he still eats, like one day the deer doesn't come, for example. So he's so concerned about the deer, instead of doing his regular activities, he's more thinking about the deer. So when he passes away, also he's thinking of the deer. So in the next birth, he's born as a deer.
Yeah. So he, Bharat Maharaj was a great devotee, and he even came to the platform of Bhava, which is a stage below Prema. The stages we covered, or we'll cover more often. So that is the topmost stage he reached, and then but then he went aloof in a forest and he was practicing whatever sadhana or meditation. And then slowly, as Prabhu, rest of the story comes, like where, you know, he got attached to deer, all those things. But what was the main lesson from the lesson, or rather, you know, practical application point we have to draw from this incident?
Association.
Because Bharat Maharaj went away into the forest all alone, there was no other devotee to come and say, hey boss, what are you doing? Where is your chanting? How is it going? Right? So what was the earlier point? Why we discussed about
association?
Yeah. So Prabhu was discussing, I may think, you know, I can build a temple, but we should ask, check with 3-4 other people who can they confirm that I can build a temple? Like that. So good friends, of course we should not talk to people whom we think, you know, they always discourage us or things like that, but like that. So our false ego is so strong, especially Maya is very strong. Maya can attack us in many different ways, including our own mind.
When we are small, good or bad, we can control ourselves. Like extreme good, I don't know what will happen, but if it is extreme bad, it's tough.
Yeah.
So how to practice that? We will cultivate them maybe slowly down the line, 50 years or you know, but what we should do to, let's say with a little heart we can be able to, extreme heart, like similarly heart. It's an extreme negative situation, how to study.
Exactly. So basically at least one thing which always keeps me, keeps my faith, is that Krishna doesn't give tests beyond our capacity. So it's like, you know, like a high jump kind of thing. No, we start at a certain level, a certain bar, right? We practice, then one day we jump. Then we increase it a little bit. Then again, you know, we keep falling, or rather, you know, the bar keeps falling. Then one day we cross and jump. It's high jump only, right? Yeah. Then we keep increasing the bar. So similarly, in devotional service, there is a lower bar and Krishna keeps increasing the bar so that our devotion increases. And especially in the case of miseries, our devotion is tested. Or in the case of reversals, our devotion is tested. When everything is going good, yeah, we can chant Hare Krishna. But when things are going bad, can you still have faith in Krishna, chant Hare Krishna? Or, you know, when nobody notices, can we chant Hare Krishna? Like, for example, I'm just sharing a personal thing. Like, so far we have been doing activities in temple, so as much as we could, right? And now we have kids, so pretty much I'm staying at home. So somebody may, nobody sees actually what I'm doing. So I may say, you know, who cares if they chant or not chant. I have all the excuses. I can say, you know, I have two kids to take care, you know, I don't have time to do it. But at the same time, you know, like, that's what I'm saying. No, you can, but where is my devotion? Or rather, I know I don't have that much quality now. But at least I'm trying, no, so that eventually I will get to that quality or even more like that. So it's all about sincerity.
I mean to say, you're still looking for opportunities where you can provide that, you know, devotion, or you can.
Exactly. So the mode of expression is different, but the essence is there. So what the essence is, the heart. Heart is, okay, I want to connect with Krishna.
The intent is there.
Yeah.
So going back to this question again, so in case of extreme miseries or you know, extreme conditions, you should think that Krishna has given you the misery that you are capable of bearing it. That's why he has given you. He wouldn't give you more than what you
yes.
can.
Yes. So I was also feeling I was carrying twins, and then once we had twins, then I didn't imagine how the life would be, right? Once day by day, we are taking it day by day. So day by day, it felt like sometimes it's like too much to handle or things like that. Then I recollect and come back to this point. It's like if I could not be able to do this, why Krishna would have given me this service? So then there is some way I could be doing this. I have to just pray and, you know, depend and figure out what is that way. So that's how the devotion intensifies. So it's like gold, right? There is different purity in the gold, right? 24 carat, 22 carat, or, you know, more impurities, it's lesser carat. So the gold gets purified. No, they keep burning the gold, right? So much red hot, then it becomes purified. So similarly, to purify our devotion, we have to go through this tough situation many times.
So another thing that we can think of is, we are burning our karmas that way.
Yeah, so that's how we discussed last time, right? Threefold miseries, how does a devotee relate? He thinks, I deserve much more, but I'm getting so less out of mercy.
I could have been worse,
yes. But it's tough. When we really are in the situation, everything will be tested, you know, faith, everything will be tested. It's like, oh, really, you know, is Krishna really hearing my chanting? You know, what's happening? But somehow or the other, we should just let it be. That's all. Just be with the time. And as you know, another thing which helps is that happiness or distress, either of them are not permanent. Sometimes we will go through tough situations, but we know eventually we'll get over it. Yes. There will be things which is much better than this. Yeah, so was that okay, Prabhu? Yeah, regarding the good and bad, similarly a personal thing, it's like, everybody in temple knew that, you know, we were expecting and all those things, and then they were waiting, 5th month, okay, what's the result? So then when I told, you know, two boys, many Mataji said, oh, it's good. Some of the Mataji said, oh, it's bad. Oh, boys, so boisterous, and you'll have a tough time. No, and I used to come back home every time and tell my Prabhu, it's like, oh, this Mataji said good, that Mataji said bad. It's like, okay, why does it matter? You know, this is what Krishna gave. You know, we'll try our best to, you know, make them devotees. That's what we care. So that's all. Then it's all became, you know, from good and bad, it became all good. That's all.
I think the positive frame of mind makes things happen easily.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because you're ready to confront the situation.
Yes.
So, how does this relate to, let's say, you are in a situation, like, you know, which has, because of, just give an example, let's say you are in an apartment and all. So, let's say your neighbor is like a huge distress to you, you know, because of noise, because of X, Y, Z and all, right? So then one aspect is, okay, yeah, this is my misery, Krishna has given me, and I can succumb to it, right? But the other thing is, you know, where I can, you need to step up
yes.
and say, hey, you know, need
yes.
to be more assertive and see if I can fight the situation out, right?
Okay.
So, because whatever you said now, I think it's more bordering on succumbing to a situation versus trying to see if I can come out of that.
No, but
okay.
there's a big difference there, right? Something what as a responsibility has come to us and something which is a distraction or some created by someone else. So what you were suggesting, I think definitely one should step up and say.
So,
okay, step
yeah.
up means what?
No, step up means trying to see if we can actually change it and maybe guide the right way so that
we
can.
Or we can move, right?
No, but
well, that,
why
did
they get to
the
situation that I go actively try to solve the problem is what
yeah.
you're
saying.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be assertive to go and talk to the person and make sure that, because just moving away is okay, then in the whole company,
yeah.
there's so much politics we have, even if you run from
everywhere,
one company, the same company we manage,
away.
Right? So we have to manage the situation. We have to be assertive and sometimes be aggressive also and just make sure that we...
Yeah, so we can. That's why there is nothing like, you know, you cannot do this, you cannot do this. Everything can be employed in Krishna service. It can use your assertion or, you know, strength or, you know, fighting spirit, whatever it is. Literally fighting, everything. But what, who is the center? That's the question we need to ask always. So, if our, say in this situation, I will tell what the, how you would see it materially, how you would do it spiritually. Materially, what I would do is, what would be my consciousness if I had to do it in material way, or rather, if I had to do it materially? What would bother me is like, you know, this noise, I'm trying to, you know, do watch TV, you know, it's disturbing me, or, you know, I can't even bear this person's face, or whatever it is, so-called my own, you know, anger, or whatever it is, that's what is annoying me, so this is the reason, somehow, that is the, what to say, ulterior motive. But I want to pick up a fight with this person. That was all it's all about. But spiritual way is like, you know, I'm trying to chant and exactly at that time this person puts a loud music. No, I'm not even able to chant. And I'm trying my best, and actually a devotee is a person who doesn't agitate anybody else. So it doesn't mean, you know, I put a big kirtan and, you know, trying to agitate that person. Right? I try my best to live amicably in as much as continue my devotion service. If I'm still not able to do, okay, we talk nicely to that person and see, you know. But the motive is what? It's affecting my service to Krishna. Devotee never lets the service to Krishna get affected, because that is the ultimate thing we have.
Okay, makes sense. So depending on that...
For that service, whatever is needed, we will do. Of course, mm-hmm. but then, you know, there are certain rules in the city. We cannot go and hit that person. At the same time, there will be rules within devotional culture also. Right? Like...
You can't be violent.
Exactly. So those things we still are there, doesn't mean I can do anything, thinking that my motive is actually serving Krishna. Like, you know, how they bomb
the
city.
The question that is crux here is, what does Krishna want you to do? Like, I mean, it's like, does he want you to be a meek person,
yes.
fatalistic, and say, you know, I don't want to fight this, I'll actually go and find a different house somewhere else and be
yeah.
and be
what if it is my house?
But
forget about apartment.
But that's not what he's asking Krishna to do. Arjuna to do. He's telling Arjuna, like...
So that's...
Like
exactly.
fight, it's your duty to fight this thing, like just don't give up.
So that,
yeah.
that's...
so, I mean...
Yeah.
So the whole thing is, in every situation, we will find, this is what we need to ask. What does Krishna want me to do here?
Yeah.
This is what is ultimate thing, that ultimate question we need to ask. How I can better serve Krishna in this situation? That's a question, basically. How I can better serve Krishna in this situation? So if I am not able to, we try from our own knowledge or resources, we try to figure out certain things. Oh, maybe Krishna wants me to do this, maybe he wants me to do this. We try this. If we still not able to resolve this, then we can ask others. No, I am in such and such situation. What do you think? Then, you know, many devotees, they come like this with Hari Vilas Prabhu, said, you know, Prabhu, I got this offer here, or, you know, I lost my job. Should I find go job, look somewhere else? He said, no, Prabhu, you just stay here. Amritananda Prabhu, right? He lost job like 3 times or something. Every time Hari Vilas Prabhu said, just stay here, try, you'll get it. So for many months, he actually was jobless. But just with that faith, he just remained and he got the job, and then almost like 15 years, he's here. So that's what the advice given by senior devotees, where he helps us, you know, remain steady. They have a better sense of, you know, what does Krishna want in this situation. Because we may be doing it based on our attachments, all those things. And
impatience. But then you won't get angry and you won't go and do the wrong thing because you're a devotee. you won't actually go and tell him like I'm going to fly up and burn your house or something. you'll actually be calm and peaceful and you'll think about it and you'll actually go and...
Yeah.
I'm trying to help him by getting rid of his material attachments.
Maybe that's what Krishna wants to do.
I would see it as tying back to it is affecting my well-being because I would not be able to sleep or whatever that affects my service to Krishna,
yes,
right? Because
exactly.
if I don't get my rest,
yes,
I cannot be
exactly.
so productive the next day. And so I have to. And apart from that, that person is not doing the right thing, right? Being noisy. It's not ethical to really behave like this. So what's wrong in going and accosting that person to say, no, this is not right.
So it's all about what is our consciousness. What is our, ulterior... Like for example, I'm again going back to fact, the personal thing. Somebody may see that, now I have, my kids are not even 2 months. Somebody may see, oh, this Mataji, left the kids at home and she's coming and, she's so much crazy about, teaching or, getting the glory of teaching a class. Somebody may see it like that. But what is my intent? My intent is if I step out and, which this gives me a chance to read 1 hour, right, forces me to read and, talk about Krishna for 3 hours, that makes me more Krishna conscious so that I can go back and serve them better. Otherwise, whole day I may be doing in a very mundane way all my activities, all the things, right? This may actually uplift my consciousness. So that's my intent.
And one bright example is like Prabhupada at his old age, when he was supposed to leave his village and rest and all. He had like 3 heart attacks or something like that, right? Still he struggled because...
Yes.
That's what
he's
trying to propagate.
That time it's a taboo to cross oceans.
Yeah.
Right? But then he did that all this because of preaching. That's why for Krishna, nothing is prohibited, nothing is abstained. Okay, so we just covered one verse. Yeah, I think that should be fine, right?
Yeah.
Read enough, brain full.
Revise.
Okay, can we stop here?